Welcome to Bible Study for Progressives, a show where moderates, liberals, and leftists of all faiths and ideologies come together to discuss scripture, spirituality, and politics. We engage scripture in its historical context, plumb its depths for wisdom and guidance, and apply its lessons to current events and social issues. Whether you're a liberal evangelical, a New Age spiritualist, a social justice activist, or a postmodern theologian, there's something in this show for you. Come, be energized in spirit and mind to understand the word and what it means to be a spiritual person in today's world.
The pro-Trump conspiracy cult QAnon did a bit of unraveling after President Biden's inauguration. You see, to them, it was never going to happen. Instead, QAnon supporters said they believed there would be a coup on Inauguration Day. Donald Trump would declare martial law. There would be military tribunals and mass executions of his enemies. The former president was supposed to be in power forever. Well, now the QAnoners are desperate, disillusioned, some baffled, some giving up.
And today we're talking about QAnon and COVID, specifically COVID masks. We're joined with my friends, Ben Fama Jr., Clinton Gordon, and a new friend, Rich Procida. Rich, thanks for joining us, man.
You're welcome, man. I'm glad to be here.
You can find Rich at laprogressive.com. He also has a podcast called Bible Study for Progressives. He's an author, attorney, and journalist. He writes about religion and politics. Rich, you're a welcome member of the crew. Everybody else has been here multiple times before. You can find Ben Fama Jr. I know if you type in reasons to believe, it'll pull up one of the two favorite videos you made. The other one was a virus called fear. Reasons to believe is fucking badass, though. But what YouTube channel can they find that under? Is that just your name?
Yeah, they could just search my name and find it.
And you were in a movie recently.
I can't give too many details because I'm under contract, but if you guys want to check it out, it's called The Retaliators. I just had a background part, but it has some of the members of like Five Finger Death Punch, Tommy Lee, Papa Roach.
Jesus.
But you can check out that trailer, The Retaliators.
That's fucking badass. I'm jealous. You're like a Hollywood dude now.
Yeah, no.
Anyway, check out Reason to Believe. You'll find it very impressive. Ben does like a lot of, like if you watch the news, you'll see some kind of this just in, or Bernie Sanders has a speech or something. Lots of times it's not actually like CNN filming it. They buy shit from people on the ground actually doing the work. And that's what Ben does. He's press. Would that be fair to say you're press?
Yeah, I'm a freelance videographer. So oftentimes I'll cover news stories and stuff, and agencies will, you know, pick it up. If they need extra hands and stuff, they'll usually call us out. So I'm usually shooting a lot of media stuff. So.
All right. So I don't want that to overshadow our new friend Rich and, of course, Sean Yankee's show. I love your show, Sean. You know I'm always there. I'm always chiming in, commenting. Happy to have you back, brother. But Clinton Gordon doesn't have a plug, but he does have something to answer to. I want to show this clip. It's an old Jim Jeffries clip about QAnon, and it's fucking hilarious, Clinton. I know this might not necessarily represent you, but I want to play it and then get your opinion on it. But before I do, would you guys mind doing like a quick presentation of your views? I mean, we got four different people, four different perspectives. Just do like a quick, like keep it under 3 minutes, but if it only takes 3 seconds, do it. Whatever it takes. If it's one sentence, that's fine. But just present your take on QAnon and on COVID masks and where we're at in the country right now. Just like a short kind of prequel to what the listener is about to hear from you. Let's start with Clinton.
My view on QAnon is, I was following QAnon for quite a while now, for the last 4 years during the election. And I, like a lot of people, thought that Biden would never make it into the office. But seems that he obviously made it in the office despite whatever controversial, ballots or mail-in ballots, Dominion machines and whatnot. Anyway, I was following it pretty heavy, and then, kind of anticlimactic after this election, a lot of QAnon people are kind of let down. with the FBI seems to be kind of cracking down with some of the people in Washington, D.C. and trying to label QAnon followers as radical extremists and possibly terrorists. So I'm going to go ahead and denounce my support publicly for QAnon, just in case they're listening. I'm not a follower anymore. So, but I was following pretty strong there for a while. And, you know, QAnon had given a lot of information via what's called 8chan and 4chan, which is a basically like a hacker platform. It's completely anonymous, and a lot of people just kind of decoding the because QAnon is really mostly it doesn't really like spell anything out for you. It gives you a lot of information. You do a lot of research, and a lot of the information that was being presented on the board of QAnon had a lot to do with political scenes and people. Jeffrey Epstein, Ghislaine Maxwell, Hillary Clinton, obviously. And just a whole bunch of, stuff that a lot of people probably weren't aware of. So a lot of people started following it. It's still a big movement. And, people do still follow it, even though there was a major letdown. Because I think a lot of QAnon followers thought that Biden would never make it into the office. So a lot of them are pretty upset right now. And for good reason, because, nobody wants to. None of the people on the bright side, no Trump supporting people wanted to see Biden get in, and I believe probably 100% of QAnon followers are definitely Trump supporters. And that's about it on QAnon. My mask thing is I don't support masks. I don't support any kind of mandate on medical procedures, such as vaccinations. I don't support medical vaccinations, period, much less mandatory vaccinations. I feel like the whole mask thing, for me, in my personal opinion, it is more of a mental conditioning. It's like putting your toe in the water, because when COVID first hit, you couldn't get in a store without a mask. You can't buy gasoline. You can't buy food for your family. You can't travel on airplanes without a mask. And this is just, in my opinion, a preempt to what will be next, which will be a vaccination ID and registration for not only America, but the entire world. And what that will do is that will force everybody to either get a vaccination, or basically you're going to be cut off from everything that you're cut off for not wearing a mask at this point.
All right. So you were pretty strong with the QAnon. You're starting to back off after the election, but you're anti-mask. I get it. Rich Proceda from LAProgressives.com and Bible Study for Progressives. Where do you stand on these two topics, sir?
Oh, well, I've never followed QAnon, and I'm only familiar with it through news reports. I obviously support mask because I don't want to die. But the main thing, so I do have some supernatural experiences and paganism, and I actually predicted this coup and a number of other things. I have what are called omens. Even Donald Trump's election was an omen. An omen is a prediction of disaster or bad things happening. And so I'm just relieved right now that the coup didn't succeed. And now I think what we need to do is we're still in coup prevention mode. We're going to have to hold leaders accountable. I've been a big advocate of educating people about propaganda. Propaganda is any persuasive material that's sent our way. And there's good propaganda and bad propaganda. And you determine that by the intention of the propagandist. Is the intention to divide us, or it's a way of manipulating groups of people? So this is what we've seen. We've seen misinformation. Really, it's disinformation. Disinformation means it's purposely false. And it's being spread through people who are not critical about what they believe. In other words, I'm a lawyer. I'm a trained critical thinker. So we have to look at these things that are coming out as attempts to manipulate us. Our democracy is under threat, not just by the people who charged or who attacked the Capitol, not just by Trump and his corrupt cronies who are pushing falsehood and lies in order to take power. And by the way, they don't care about any of those believers out there. So it's important for us to be critical And we don't need a conspiracy theory. We don't need some type of long, drawn-out story. All we have to do is listen to what Trump says and listen to what he and watch what he does. I'm a big advocate of having our spirituality impact our politics. There's a saying that that people are spiritual but not religious. So many people are political but not spiritual. We need to incorporate love for our neighbors, love, not hatred or anger. We need to act like we're representing God. And what would God or Jesus do is to love our neighbor, even love our enemy. And what that means is to provide for our enemy's needs. So it's very important. I think where we're heading now, we've got to hold our leaders accountable, those who not only those who attacked the Capitol, but those who spread disinformation and lies, and it was all a plan. Trump came out saying the election was going to be corrupt. He set his group up for that. When he lost, he kept saying it. And the whole plan was to bring thousands of people to attack the Capitol. This was not something that he didn't plan out. And the people who are feeling deceived right now, the most important thing is don't go back. Don't go back to what the devil is a deceiver. And when you go back, and you don't go back to those same people that deceived you. If you found that QAnon was not valid, it was a lie from the get-go, it's totally and completely false, it's a bizarre conspiracy theory, when all you really have to do is watch what Trump does and watch what he says. If he says, have the police beat up people, that's not a good person. If his policy is to separate children from their parents, that's not a good person. And that person has no interest in whether or no care for whether we live or die. And that's a very important thing to understand, because he did nothing about COVID, nothing. And when all he did all that time was try to overturn the election so he can take power. We are in the midst of the collapse of democracy around the world. And the United States is not unique. It's the same tactic in every country. Appeal to ignorance and bigotry and spread falsehood and lies and rile people up to support you. But what these people need to understand is that they're not, that our expression, our collective expression through politics can be demonic.
Absolutely.
If it reaches into our hearts and causes, it reaches for us. So anyway, that's about, I'll stop right there. Okay. I'm going to go on and on forever.
No, it's a fascinating, and I really appreciate that you're presenting maybe an opinion that might be different from Clinton and Sean's, but you're from such a different perspective from Ben. You as a spiritual man, you as a Christian, Ben as a staunch atheist. So I really feel this conversation is going to be fantastic. Thanks for that. Mr. Fama, Ben Fama Jr., Reasons to Believe in a Virus Called Fear. You got a lot of attention after the whole COVID outbreak with A Virus Called Fear, just because everybody was, Sean and Clinton and many others were clicking on something that might be titled that way, and you probably got a lot of conspiracy dudes clicking your stuff. But I would direct everybody to check it out. It's not conspiracy. It's, I don't know, how would you describe it?
It's anti-conspiracy. It's anti-truth-telling to me. I think if I was to quote, If the truth can be destroyed, it deserves to be destroyed. And that's been the premise of a lot of things that I've done. And what right now is happening, what we're seeing, is actually not new in the world. What we're actually seeing right now is making connections to things that we don't fully, truly understand and trying to build a mental picture of what's actually happening. And I'm saying this as a former conspiracy theorist myself. I was someone that believed 9/11 was an inside job. I'm someone that used to believe that the JFK conspiracy was a conspiracy. I know what it's like to be locked into a belief that there's a new world order and that there's all these elites out there that are trying to, you know, control us, and they're putting chemtrails in the air. So it's not that I don't understand what these people are actually trying to experience. I think my frustration, anger, is once I realized when I came out of it that the difficulty of, and I think even Clinton brought up a good point in what he was saying, that, you know, he's kind of falling out of that, because once he realized, hey, some of these things may not add up. That's basically kind of how it happens, is when you start to realize that once the once the evidence doesn't actually meet up, a lot of times you start to rethink and recalibrate how you're seeing the world. So what I mean by that this is not new is throughout time, we've been pattern seeking creatures. Okay. We need to be able to solve problems. We need to be able to understand how do we survive. And oftentimes, and I bring this up obviously in my film, that sometimes we'll see patterns where patterns don't exist. And that's usually what conspiracies are. The interesting thing about conspiracies is that sometimes they actually have little levels of truth, but there's kind of like this additional baggage that's attached to it. And you start seeing things that actually aren't there. That's when I believed in 9/11, I was watching Loose Change. I thought I was listening to credible authorities and engineers talking about certain patterns. And in my head, I was like, here's all this evidence in front of me. Here's all these dots and they're all connecting and they all seem like they add up. And there's all of a sudden, I believed in New World Order shit, man. I thought they were going to chip us and do all this other stuff. The problem lies within the conspiracy itself. And this is what my challenge is to QAnon people is that conspiracy is not new. Saying that JFK was shot because there was some underlying thing he had about secret societies. I believe that. I used to tell it to people all the time. Like, look, he's talking about secret societies. We got the Freemasons. We got the Illuminati, right? The thing is that there are secret societies, okay? And there are complex conspiracies that do happen. But the thing is, we're actually adding a bunch of baggage to something that's not there. To example, JFK being assassinated, okay? JFK was assassinated by one solid person. What's hard for our brains to comprehend in those realities is how could something like that happen? When every time you think of a conspiracy theory, especially right now in the age of COVID and the age of especially anxiety and fear, which a lot of people have and they don't understand the world around them, oftentimes our brains will try to find patterns and find the meanings in those connections. I think a lot of people are starting to understand, like when they're coming out of the QAnon stuff, like I see a lot of the comments from people that are coming out of it, they say, oh my God, I feel completely ill. I feel sick. How could I have been duped, right? Well, it's the same thing when people come out of cults. And if you study like actual cults, like there's a really great cult about Nvidium or whatever. There's a HBO documentary right now called The Vow. Okay. It's about this sex cult. And ironically, QAnon actually brings them up. And if you look at people that come out of Scientology, they come out of all these belief systems, especially when it comes to cult behavior. When they come out of it, they feel like they're coming out of the Matrix. You know, that feeling of like, what the fuck? Like, how did I get caught up in it? And it's not because people are dumb or stupid. Now, I get angry because I'm trying to wake people up from it, because once you realize it, but the reality is that they're not stupid. They go into it thinking that they're seeing a connection that's there. And they see all these patterns that they think that exist. And what happens is that they now are just searching for that same information. And any type of information that contradicts that belief system creates a like pain in their head. It's almost like a discomfort. That they're focusing on this. And this happens to all belief systems. This is why I challenge belief in general. People believe in UFOs. People believe in Bigfoot. People that believe in Scientology. I've debated so many people in my life. None of them have changed their mind. Now think about that. None of them. They all say the same thing. Conspiracy theorists say the same thing that Bigfoot people say. UFO people say the same thing that Christians say, right? So my belief is not that I agree with Richard to some extent, but my disagreement is I don't think this is the devil or that this is God. What this is a human nature survival mechanism that we have used for thousands of years. Authoritarian regimes, when they come up in the world, okay, throughout time, this is human behavior here we're talking about. Especially us as men, we have a biological reason to be an alpha male, to have power, to procreate, right? And oftentimes we will manipulate to get that power. We've seen this throughout time over and over. And oftentimes authoritarians, this is a problem, is that it's complex. And what we're doing as human beings is we're shortcutting complex reason, complex problems, which is what we're trying to do as a species. We're trying to solve complex problems and we're shortcutting them to simple answers. And authoritarians usually do this. And we've done this throughout time. It's been well known when not just authoritarians in politics, but authoritarians that come into cults, they act the same way. Jim Jones would gather his people and tell lies, and anything that contradicted their belief system was an attack on them. And so there's this victimization, there's this grievance politics. This is what happened in Nazi Germany. Is if you listen to it, it was the stabbing in the back like the Jews. And they thought that the reason why they lost the war in World War I was because of this conspiracy. And this is the problem with belief systems and conspiracies, that it can lead to dangerous behavior. And this is what you're actually seeing in our society now. There's people that literally believe that they are patriots that are coming into the Capitol, right? To save their democracy. Now, in their own head, it seems like that makes legitimate sense. But the reality is they don't realize that they're actually the threat to the democracy. They don't realize that there was actually a free and fair election, that actually had happened, And everything that you give them as facts is going to contradict what they've been told about the media, the fake news, and all. They've been programmed over and over, just like in Nazi Germany, a propaganda like Rich brought up, that they are no longer accepting that information coming in. So now they believe, well, now masks are trying to control us. Now the vaccine is trying to control us. Now they're making this up. And all of a sudden, they start seeing patterns where patterns actually don't actually exist there. Absolutely. And no matter how many facts you bring to them, no matter how logical you try to bring an argument to them, they're going to filter that out.
Can I play this video real quick for Clinton?
All right.
Donald Trump put his name on the political map with a conspiracy theory.
Why doesn't he show his birth certificate?
And it's not the only time he's gone to that well.
They say they found a pillow on his face, which is a pretty unusual place to find a pillow.
The beautiful child went to have the vaccine, now is autistic.
Recently, many of Trump's supporters are buying into something even bigger.
Those Trump supporters you see waving around the letter Q are followers of Q.
What QAnon is a fringe movement in which many baseless conspiracy theories are discussed on the internet.
So I dove deep into the rabbit hole to talk to four prominent QAnon researchers, including one who has 140,000 YouTube subscribers and millions of views.
What is QAnon?
QAnon is basically a shadow civil war between rogue intelligence agencies and good guys, for lack of a better term.
Do we all agree on this? This exists.
QAnon 100%.
100%.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
100%. Q's a guy that's on the internet.
Not a guy.
Not a guy.
It's a group. The people that have the full scope of the picture is less than 10. We shouldn't be caught up on who is Q. It's more of what is it.
He says that because what's about to be revealed is that QAnon is actually JFK Jr. So JFK Jr. is alive. And he brought the plan to Donald pre-1999.
Is Q more powerful than Trump?
Trump is a part of the Q team. So he's
just part of the team.
Yeah, he's actually posted at least twice. And he signed
it.
Well, yeah. We do know that because he's when it's signed as 4-10-20, that's Donald J. Trump. But you got to understand numerology to know that. There was a tweet.
That's my favorite part. You have to understand numerology to know that. And I know it's an audio broadcast, but... if you could see the guy's face after he said that. Anyway, Clinton, tell us what you think about that. Clinton, go ahead, buddy.
All right, well, first of all, QAnon is, there's no such thing as QAnon. There's Q, which is a source of information that's posting on 4chan, 8chan. The Anons are the people who decipher, disseminate the information, investigate, and then they post what they find through their investigation, what they their links to what they think is a further investigation into what Q posted. The one thing about QAnon that I'd have to say is, I mean, Q and the Anons, that I'd have to question is if QAnon is QAnon or whatever the information that Q is giving and the information that the Anons decipher and bring to the internet is, if it's not true, why do you have to censor it off every platform? Why did Facebook, why did YouTube, why does Twitter, every single platform has deleted hundreds of channels and people who have hundreds of thousands and millions of followers altogether. So why do you have to censor something if it's not true? And Q never said JFK Jr. is alive. That's something that's completely false. People were disseminating that on their own. Q never came out and said JFK is alive. That's, I don't know where they got that from, but that's completely not from the Q board officially. So that's, like I said, you have a lot of people that decipher the information that Q drops, because that's what it's called, Q drops. He posts something, and then they decipher the information. They dig deeper, investigate, and they come to their own conclusion. So Q doesn't really say, by the way, JFK Jr. is alive and he's going to be back soon. It's never been like that. But there's some people who look into it and they find these connections, that connections, and they make their own decision and they share their opinion. But the question that I have for everybody is what happened to free speech? You know, this is a country that the most important thing that our forefathers thought of when they were initially writing the Constitution was, what's the most important thing? What's number one on the Constitution? And that's the right to free speech. It's the right to say, hey, you're a liar, or hey, I don't believe you, or hey, You're wrong. We are. That's the most important thing of this republic, not democracy. This is a republic, not a democracy. That is the most important thing in this country. The second thing is the right to bear arms, which will defend, which people will defend themselves against dictatorships. Speaking of dictatorships, Biden and his little first 10 days, I think he's up to like 40 executive orders and executive actions combined. So I'm, you know, kind of confused about what people are talking about with a dictator Trump was, because I think his first week he might have had 7 EOs and Biden's up to 40. And I'll pass the mic with, and I'll end with that, and then I'll come back with whatever anybody wants to talk about.
Okay, so since I'm a lawyer and studied constitutional law in Washington, D.C., and also has a book about foreign comparative First Amendment law, one of the things that, well, the first thing I want to say is this idea, if something, then something. Mm-hmm. And we have to make sure that if something actually supports the then something. So the idea, if it's not true, that, well, maybe that's the, maybe there's a number of reasons why. One is because it's not true, right?
It's being,
yeah, it matters because of the harm. Okay, so basically the First Amendment only prohibits the state. This is an important point. People are not, private institutions are not subject to the First Amendment. So if Twitter or Facebook wants to silence what you say, there's nothing unconstitutional about it. The only people prevented from acting is the state, not churches, not private institutions. Secondly, it's not an absolute right. So you can't yell fire in a crowded theater. It's not an absolute right. You know, you can't have child pornography. It's not an absolute right. You can't threaten people with physical violence. It's not an absolute right. So when we have disinformation and propaganda disseminated through private institutions and media structures, then we have to make sure that that information is true and accurate. Now, there are a lot of things about the First Amendment that we can amend. I think we're probably going to need some type of rating agency or professional organizations to separate out disinformation or to at least label things as either news or not news. Yeah, not everything. We're going to have to deal with this, and I'm respectful of the problems with the First Amendment. After all, I study the Constitution, and I fight for the First Amendment, and I want to protect our freedom of speech here. But it's not a wild, wild west thing where the people in power get to dictate to the rest of us what we have to believe. You know, it's with money is speech, then our speech is nothing. In fact, I'm not concerned about social media as much as I'm concerned about the big purveyors of propaganda like Fox News, Breitbart, and this QAnon. So the idea is not that I'm restricting the First Amendment at all. It's to understand, first of all, what the First Amendment actually covers. And then secondly, finding ways to deal with complex situations in which the dissemination of false information and inciting false information and insightful or dangerous or pushing violence needs to be regulated in some way. And I don't actually know how, but I don't think that we just say, oh, all of a sudden, just because we have free speech, that anything that people censor is somehow must be true.
All right. So I guess somewhere I got this book here. It says The Constitution and the Declaration of Independence by the Founding Fathers by Paul B. Skousen. Is he, you guys find him to be a credible author?
I don't know the guy.
Does anybody object to me using his book as a source of information?
I don't know enough about him to say either way, but
yeah, I don't know anything about him either.
It's basically,
I heard he was a pedophile.
Basically, it's a book that I ordered because, you know, of these conversations that we have and the feelings that I feel. And I'm looking at what's supposed to be the Bill of Rights, okay? And this is Amendment 1. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press or right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for redress of grievances. So I have a problem when people try to say what Rich just said, that it's not Rich, what did you say the rights were, that they're not complete, or they're not?
It's not absolute.
It's not absolute.
It's not absolute.
But these are inalienable rights. Do you know the definition?
Yeah, but that's not absolute.
But let me look up the definition of inalienable, because maybe I don't understand it. I'm just going to use Google. Do anybody have a problem with me using?
I'm basing it on court law, on the law. That not everybody gets to say everything they want to say at any time.
I understand that, but I just want to look up. The definition of inalienable.
It means it can't be taken away because it wasn't actually given.
Okay, so this is basically just a quick Google search. I'm not a lawyer, so I don't know, but is Google good enough for you guys?
Yeah, sure.
Well, I trust you.
An inalienable right, said Richard Fulton of Freedom Forum Institute, is a right that can't be restrained or repealed by human laws. Sometimes called natural rights, inalienable rights flow from our nature as free people. All right, so right,
which don't exist.
When you're saying that a right is not absolute, not only are you couldn't be further from what my observation of the definition of inalienable is, but you're almost like rewriting the law, because it doesn't say anything in this Amendment 1 about if it's not true, you can't say it, or if we don't agree with it, you can't say it, or if the so-called fact checkers don't agree with it, you can't say it, or you can't post it. And the funny thing is that Facebook and Twitter are protected by the United States government. They're not liable for anything that's posted on their platforms. They're supposed to be public platforms that they don't publish on, and that's why they get protected in Section 203 or some craziness like that. But when Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, which are supposed to be public forums, start to remove stuff that they don't particularly like, then they are no longer a free platform. They're publishers. And they're walking a line where they're not held liable for anything that's on their platform, like child porn. If somebody gets sexually, if they're coerced into, you know, whatever kind of trap, you know how there's like predators online. So they're not liable for none of that. But they take the liberty of removing anything that just coincidentally, anything that goes against what's coming out on your TV. So if you look at it, you can agree that the stuff that's being removed from Twitter, the stuff that's being removed from Facebook, from YouTube, it's information that contradicts the mainstream media narrative. And then that only gives us one source of information that gives us zero free press and like zero freedom of speech, because it's a public platform. Like, you can't discriminate against me for what I'm saying on a public platform, because it's public and what I say has just as much value. And I have just as much right to say it as the person who works at Fox or works at CNN or works anywhere in the White House, whatever.
So let me ask you a question, Clinton.
Go ahead.
Yeah. If you go into a bar and a bartender kicks you out for saying something, does he have a right to do that?
No. I mean, well, am I threatening somebody? Because that's, you know, if I say I'm going to kill you, they could kick me out. Yeah. If I say, hey, damn, you know, she looks good, they can kick you off for that. I don't think that they have the right to do that, no. But if you're threatening somebody or you're disturbing the peace by what you're saying, if you're provoking a fight, I mean, obviously there's, what I'm saying is if you're going into an establishment and you're starting a fight with the words you're saying, the bar has to keep the peace in the bar. That's obviously something that's not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about a bar. I'm talking about just a platform that we can all go on our computers where there's not going to be a fight. Nobody's going to get shot. Nobody's going to get stabbed for an argument on Facebook. But then that could happen in a bar. And that does happen in a bar.
What happens when it does happen? Like, a fight breaks out from Facebook and Twitter, and all of a sudden people become violent.
Well, that's a whole nother story. But what I'm saying is that it's a public platform, and they're protected because they're a public platform and they're not publishers and they're cheating. And the point I wanted to make is the only thing that will ever get censored off these platforms is anything that goes against the mainstream narrative. And if you look at what's being, let's say, okay, for example, when the beginning of the pandemic started, if you mentioned HCQ, which is hydroxychloroquine, you would be banned. I was banned. I got banned for 30 days for mentioning hydroxychloroquine. There was a group of doctors who had a summit on the steps of the Supreme Court in Washington, D.C. They were suppressed, and their careers were annihilated by the press. They were made fun of. They were discredited in the beginning of this whole pandemic. The people who control the prescriptions and what is allowed to be prescribed to people, they actually waged a full-blown war against hydroxychloroquine because actually Donald Trump said it worked and it was effective. But now the American Journal of Health has just came out in the last week and said that hydroxychloroquine is a very effective treatment for COVID. And it could have saved countless lives if that information wasn't suppressed. And now that they're going back and now they're saying, oh, okay, actually the American Journal of Health says this. So
okay, hold on.
Are they responsible for all the deaths that occurred because they suppressed the information?
Before we go any further, I don't want to go too far off a tangent here. We're getting into medical stuff, and I'm not comfortable debating medical stuff. I'm not a medical professional. I would say that there is a challenge to that argument that what you're saying could be debunked, but I don't want to sit here and do it. I'm not a professional. I do want to circle back to your freedom of speech argument. And actually, I even think that's kind of off of where we're talking about with actual QAnon, because I understand people feeling the need to speak out and being actual censored. So the question I have, again, is, if I own a bar and someone comes in is making accusations that are not true, does the government have a right to tell me I have to let that person drink at my bar?
Man, you're trying to connect dots that aren't connected. And, you know, we're talking about a bar, or we're talking about free speech in a public platform.
We're talking about public platforms and free speech.
Right. So if somebody comes into a bar and they're instigating fight or they're trying to disturb the peace, and, you know, obviously, you know, somebody's going to get hurt. The bar owner has a responsibility to throw people out based on the fact that they have to keep people in their bar safe. Now, this is not connected or has anything to do with what I'm talking about. I'm talking about public platforms that are protected by the American government that are not supposed to be publishers, that are removing information from their platforms and becoming publishers, but are still receiving the benefits of not being publishers and are not held liable for the stuff that's coming on their platform.
Do you think too, and maybe Rich, you can actually chime in, because again, you're a constitutional lawyer. I'm not, so I don't want to speak as an expert because I am not. When they actually did start deplatforming certain members of ISIS, when they started actually going after terrorist organizations, it did bring down terrorist attacks. It did stop the disinformation campaigns going on with that. Is that constitutional?
All right. As far as accounts of terrorism being ISIS being taken away, I mean, a lot of people try to like connect dots, and I'm not really talking about an organization that suicide bombs people. I'm talking about like information, like, because you can't compare a group of doctors on the steps of the Supreme Court building in Washington, D.C. to ISIS. Like, it's just, you can't compare that. It's not the same situation. So what I'm trying to say is that anything that goes against the mainstream narrative is being suppressed. And it was suppressed. HCQ is now found to work after the mainstream media destroyed it. They had a Lancet report they used to discredit it. And now that official Lancet report has been redacted. But they don't go on the TV and tell you, hey, that Lancet report that we told you that HCQ is dangerous and it could kill you, even though it has less side effects than Tylenol. Yeah, that report was false. They don't do that. And as a result, hundreds of thousands of people have lost their lives to a disease and a pandemic that could have been stopped a long time ago if they would have just allowed people to share information freely on the internet and freely get this medication that is HCQ. Now, I wanted to talk a little bit about the COVID. And the thing about COVID is that we are going into an official, the new normal, where basically everything is controlled by COVID. Okay, so we got COVID this and COVID that and these regulations for COVID. You can't go here. You can't do that. I just watched TV the other day and I was watching the basketball game, and the guys weren't playing a basketball game, not because they tested positive for COVID, but because they had a close contact. And this is what I'm talking about. It's COVID, in my opinion, is just a spearhead of a full-blown, like, Nazi-style regime where everything is controlled and based up, you know, all your rights are done. You can't fly. You can't do this unless you're vaccinated. You know, where does it end? As far as masks, and this is back to the point of this whole thing, the mask, Dr. Fauci, in the beginning of the pandemic, said that masks don't work. On the box of the mask, if you look at that little stupid paper mask that everybody's wearing, if you look at the box even tells you on the box that this does not protect you from any transmissible virus or bacteria. I mean, it might stop a couple of things, but what I'm saying is that the American government has used this COVID to completely alienate our inalienable rights. And really, I don't know what else to say about that, but, you know, Facebook is being, Facebook and everybody, they're responsible for suppression of information in the beginning of this pandemic that could have saved the country, could have saved the world, basically. And Dr. Simone Gold and her group of frontline doctors, they were mocked. They were made fun of. They were attacked. Their licenses were attacked. Their reputations were attacked by the mainstream media, who now says and reports that the American Journal of Health has found that HCQ actually works. And everybody who was saying HCQ worked, including Trump, we were all labeled crazy conspiracy theorists. And this is the problem. This is the problem with fact checkers. And this is the problem
I hate to cut you off, man.
Go ahead. I'm done.
I'm digging it. I'm just saying, We gotta keep it short under the hour.
All right, brother. That's all I gotta say. You know, as far as the censorship, it's dangerous, and it's cost people lives. It's cost hundreds of thousands of people's lives because they censored what they thought was true, and the Lancet report was false, and it's been redacted, and now, you know, I don't know how many hundred thousand people have passed away from a virus that could have been prevented.
Rich, quick wrap up, and then Ben, if you don't mind doing a quick wrap up thereafter, sir.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So the world isn't perfect. And the fact that the world isn't perfect and that we don't have perfect protections doesn't mean necessarily that there's something to the fact that certain things aren't said or certain things are said or certain things aren't allowed. We don't have a perfect system. We do have some semblance of democracy. And that's what we need to protect, because what we've seen is disinformation, and we need to recognize disinformation. That's the most important thing. Recognize when you're being lied to. Recognize when you're being manipulated. Recognize when you're being deceived. We can't make all these these conclusions. They don't draw one from the other. They're just basically, why this, then this. That's sort of the mindset, I think. This is a threat to our democracy. So when you put all these things together and you come out with some conclusions, then those things are a threat to our democracy because they're causing people to behave in ways that are detrimental to our freedoms, then something has to be done. And quite honestly, I don't know what that is. And I would certainly want to protect every part of the First Amendment that I can. But I don't believe that this is not a First Amendment issue as much as it is an issue of foreign influence, the use of propaganda by self-interested parties to manipulate our political process and to throw us into a dictatorship. This is what all this propaganda is about, and that's what Q is. It's all propaganda designed to deceive us. So we have to develop more awareness, not make such spacious connections to things that aren't really particularly connected. And we need to fight for our freedoms and fight for democracy. And that's one thing I think we have in common, is that we all believe in democracy. We were there fighting for democracy. And I think scripture is also something that we might have in common that we can use and relate to. And then once we find that common base, then we can start to look at the facts and not draw a string of facts that lead to a string of conclusions, but one fact, look at it, see if it really means what you say it means.
Extraordinary claims require extraordinary evidence. And I believe that the more extraordinary the claim, the more extraordinary the evidence there needs to be. I think that we are living in complex times, and these are complex discussions that need to be had. And I think that a lot of times we're making shortcuts to assertions. There's a lot of assertions that were made today But the thing is that the complexity of having to debunk the assertions and having to actually go through and show why something may not be true is complex. It's not enough time to sit here and go through every one of these assertions and say, I believe that masks are completely safe. They have shown that time and time again throughout the world in the studies. They've shown that the vaccines have been effective. That's a rational thing to debate. I don't think my problem is the debate of that or even the debate of free speech. My problem is when people go off on large conspiracy theories that are so outlandish and so large of a claim that there's really no true evidence other than assertions themselves. And this is what I hear conspiracy theorists do. They assert without providing evidence, or they think that they're providing evidence, but it's just assertion. And critical thinking and science, it does not work that way. You have to provide the evidence like you would in a court of law. So in a weird way too, as much as I agree with you, Rich, too, I would challenge that even in your own belief too, and that might be a discussion we could have at a different time, is that I agree with your rationality, but I think the reason why as an atheist, I actually don't agree with the scripture for the same reason. I think that the Bible and God and these things have made extraordinary claims without the evidence, and we have to be able to question, where are we getting this information and how do we know this information to be correct? I think that's a rational discussion to have. And I think that, Clint, you know, I think you brought up good arguments. I think there is a debate for it. But underneath of it, I'm not upset about these arguments. I'm more upset about the extraordinary claims without proper evidence. And we have to be willing to accept when we're wrong. And how do we understand the information? That's my concern, is I feel like truth is like a flower in a desert right now. And I feel like it's getting crushed. I think it's not getting watered. I feel like there's a true threat to the truth. And I think that's what we should value. And that truth is hard to find. There's an objective truth and subjective truth. And all I'm trying to do is get to the core truth of what that actually is.
This has been Bible Study for Progressives. If you enjoyed the program, please subscribe to our podcast or put us in your favorites and write a 5-star review. Tell your friends about us and share us on social media. Follow us on Facebook and click the donate button at modernlectionaries.blogspot.com. Your support will help us reach more people, produce more and better shows, and cover the cost of production. Feel free to send me a note or comment on the show. I would love to hear from you. Until next time, this is Rich Procida. Thank you for listening.